Marvin Gaye's record, What's Going On, came out around this time 50 years ago. Unemployment was at 6%, an all-time high. People were protesting police brutality, and Americans were angry over the Vietnam War. What's Going On reflected those times with laser-sharp precision, and it's gone on to become Motown's biggest commercial success. And 50 years later, we're still into it. That's because themes from What's Going On reflect some of the most significant challenges and divisions we face as a society. For more on the importance of What's Going On 50 years later, we're joined by music journalist, author, and cultural critic Nelson George, who interviewed Gaye during his lifetime. Nelson, welcome to Here and Now.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yes, well, you know, many folks might actually be surprised to learn that this album almost wasn't made. Motown founder Berry Gordy was actually afraid it would ruin Gaye's career. In hindsight, that seems kind of hard to believe, but why was there so much pushback from Gordy?
Well, I mean, Motown was not a company that was built on any kind of personal statements. It was the superb production line with producers, a great band, the Funk Brothers, who created pop music for, as they said, the sound of young America. You know, that kind of political, social, personal work was not a signature of the company.
Ronaldo Obeas, as he was called, Benson of the Four Tops, actually wrote this song after, during a tour stop in Berkeley, California, he saw a scuffle with police and protesters at this anti-Vietnam War protest. Let's listen to a little of the words. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Nelson, Marvin agreed to record the song, but he removed the question mark at the end of the title. Why did he do that?
It wasn't a question, it was a statement, in a sense, you know, and the record itself tries to actually provide answers. When I say that, I mean to say that spirituality, brotherhood, you know, the oneness of man, ideas that people talked about a lot in the 60s, and quite honestly, is not being talked about enough now in the 21st century. So the album not only illustrates the challenges, but also speaks to what he thinks are solutions. So I don't think you need a question mark for that. It was a statement. What's going on? And here are some of the answers.
Yeah. You know, What's Going On has been used throughout the world in demonstrations against totalitarian regimes, a call for peace in the Middle East. BLM activists played it during protests more recently. It's often played on hand drums at Native American powwows. When did it become clear that Marvin Gaye had this enduring hit that was really bigger than anything that he had ever done before then?
Well, the record, you know, was an immediate success. And it was this, it was a huge cultural moment. So it definitely resonated in its time. But ultimately, the world came back to this album. And I think that's one of the things that happened in the last few years with all the turmoil over race relations, the entire chaos and the fragmentation. People talking about, you know, climate change. Well, climate change, he's talking about the ecology in 1971. These are all ideas and conversations we're having right now in 2021 that Marvin was having. And so the themes of the album have proved to be enduring.
The second song on the album, What's Happening, Brother, was written for Gaye's brother, Frankie, who had just returned from a 3-year tour in Vietnam and was struggling to find a job. Let's listen. Hey, baby, what you know good? I'm just getting back, but you knew I would. You know, to put this in context, the American people were learning in 1971 through the Pentagon Papers how the U.S. government had basically lied to them about the Vietnam War. And this song spoke exactly to the sentiment of hundreds of thousands of Americans impacted by loved ones serving in the war. What do you hear when you listen to this song?
Well, I don't just hear it, I see it. What I'm seeing is I was a child, I was probably maybe 11 or 12 or 13 in 71. And there were all these brothers in New York who were wearing those jackets, the jackets that you know, Army guys wore when they came back. Mm-hmm. And they were around on the corner. They were scuffling, trying to find work. They were at the barbershop you went to. So you had this return of all these brothers who had been in the war, and they weren't celebrated. You know, there was a lot of protest about the war, so it wasn't like the World War II people where everyone was patting them on the back. So that sense of displacement, disillusionment, the feeling of being used by the government as cannon fodder. That's what I, when I hear these song, that song in particular, I don't just hear it, I see these people that I remember seeing in the streets, and the song reflects that, that sense of confusion and sadness.
Mm-hmm. Mercy, Mercy Me, the ecology, is a popular one from the album. It was written solely by Gay, and it's a direct truth-telling about the way we impact our environment. Let's listen to a little. Whoa. Nelson, this song rose to number 4 on the Billboard Pop Singles chart and even had a rare appearance for Marvin on the Adult Contemporary charts. You brought up this song a little bit earlier, but you know what always gets me is the end with that haunting soprano voice. What about you? Mm.
The sound of the record embraces many traditions. That was almost like a choral, churchy, even a European churchy thing, not necessarily just a Black churchy thing. So when you listen to this record, there's just the inherent spiritual dimension. There's also this jazz thing that's constantly flowing through the percussion, and how percussion plays a huge part in the flow of this particular song and the entire album. So by layering in organically so many different kinds of music, you create an environment that is very distinctive. This album really changed Marvin's career.
You interviewed Marvin Gaye a few times, but there's the time in March of 1983, a year before he was killed by his father. And you were met with a man who was different than what you expected him to be. He was a visibly broken man. And you wrote this highly regarded but very haunting piece. All these years later, do you interpret that interview and the man before you any differently?
Well, no, I mean, that was a moment, you know, he was coming back from his kind of self-imposed exile in Europe. When he came back to the States, he was on a high. He, you know, sexual healing was coming out and he was sort of on a comeback. But he also was confronting his old demons, demons of drug abuse, demons of very fraught family relations, demons of his own sexual issues that he was dealing with. And so I feel like there's a sense of, melancholy. When I sat with him, I asked him about what's going on and whether or not the time called for another album like that. And he was very reluctant to sort of embrace that idea. He said it took a lot of soul searching, a lot of meditation. So he wasn't in the, whatever space that had created what's going on had passed for him. He had moved away from the social commentary that what's going on represented. And I think it's because he spiritually didn't feel connected both to the U.S. in the same way and even to some parts of his own muse.
We asked some of our listeners what this album means to them, especially now during the pandemic and with so much pain and suffering. And Jonathan Grunert of Rochester, New York, told us he first heard What's Going On as he worked his way through his college CD library almost 20 years ago. He's 38 now and makes a point of listening to the album every year.
Most recently, I've listened to it as I drove to Rochester for Black Lives Matter demonstrations around the 2020 murder of Daniel Prude, pointing out to my kids that this album, nearly 50 years old, is still very relevant and very real, and a cry for help, healing, and understanding in the face of unspeakable violence.
Hmm. Nelson, it's been 50 years since this album debuted. What does it mean to you?
Well, it's just, to me, a beautiful piece of art. Inner City Blues haunts me. There's something about the production and sound of it. I mean, you can put that music over any city scene in any urban center in the last 50 years, and that music would work. Hmm. The descriptions in it, the atmosphere of the record, his vocal stylings, it would still feel like he's describing right now.
Music journalist, author, filmmaker, and cultural critic Nelson George, thank you so much for going down memory lane with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
This album means a lot to a lot of you. Here's some of what else you all had to say. Charles Townsend, 62, of New York City, says, "It was the first album I bought with my own money as a church kid. It was the first popular music I heard that was both spiritual and secular, that I could dance to, and it made it practically divine. I had to have it." Chelsea Crabb of Somerville, Massachusetts, says she's always loved Marvin Gaye since she was a kid, but now at 26 years old, she says, "I finally know what Marvin Gaye's lyrics really mean and really meant. I finally know what he was singing about, pleading for, exactly 50 years ago, the cyclical patterns of history writing itself in another repeat measure right on time." Thanks to all of you who sent in messages going down memory lane with us, the 50th anniversary year of Marvin Gaye's seminal album, What's Going On. This is Here and Now. This ain't living, this ain't living. No, no, baby.